It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio as we continue to react to what did unfold last night in Cincinnati between the Bills and the Bengals involving DeMar Hamlin. Someone that was on the sideline last night was also on the team plane is Sal Capaccio, the longtime Bills sideline reporter. Sal, I wish we were talking under better circumstances, obviously. Thank you so much for joining us, and hope you're doing well and hanging in there okay.
Yeah, no problem, Zach. Been a long, tough, 24 hours, a little less than that, I guess. Everybody here is still obviously feeling the effects and thinking about DeMar.
How did you process it last night when you're on the sideline and a lot of us just didn't know what was going on, and then you slowly see, obviously you've been on the sideline, what was occurring?
Well, there's two parts of it, right? It's the professional part and the personal part. And as it's happening, I'm live on the air and they're throwing it down to me on the field and I'm trying to describe everything that I'm seeing. And, that's happening and I'm seeing these players who are larger than life and tougher than life. And they're, so emotional and you're trying to comprehend that and seeing that, and what's happening on the field. But at the same time, I'm also kind of witnessing something that is just horrific. And I've never thought I'd ever see in a game or think about ever seeing a game and hope I never do again. But you have to concentrate on doing the job. And at that moment, I have to be an observer and a source of information to our listeners. So processing it was probably more so from the professional side at the point at that time, whereas I would say this morning, it's more from the personal side, and I'm getting up and I'm kind of putting myself back in that moment, and it's kind of hitting what happened last night, what I witnessed, and now I'm also seeing some of the images even beyond what I saw on the field last night, because I didn't see some of the personal shots you guys saw from TV. Like, I might not have seen, Josh Allen and Joe Burrow. I didn't see them off to the side and embracing each other and things like that. And I'm seeing even more of that reaction from last night, and that's made it a little bit tougher today.
Yeah, I'm sitting in the studio last night, and obviously we're on the air, so we don't have the sound on, but we have the TV on, and they keep on taking breaks and coming on back. You obviously knew something was wrong, but we've seen players before get taken off on stretchers, taken off on an ambulance. But when they came back, Sal, and they showed Josh Allen's face, it was just a blank stare, and he was as white as a ghost. And that's when I really knew how bad that this was.
Yeah, so it started off, that DeMar collapsed. And it's not that we've never seen that before. I've seen that kind of thing happen before in the field. We all have, because usually if a guy gets knocked out or even a head injury, that can happen, right? And it's serious, but I saw him collapse. And then what happened was you saw the Bengals players basically motioning to the trainers to come out as fast as possible. That's the first step of, okay, something's a little bit more serious here. But even then, you've seen those kinds of things happen. Then they're working on him, and I look in, and I'm like, boy, are they doing CPR on him? Like, it looked like it, but I couldn't tell, because you couldn't tell and see, because there were a lot of bodies around there and people, doing what they had to do. And then I thought, there's no way. Like, they're not performing CPR on a guy in the middle of a football field. They have to be cutting off his face mask because he must have a neck injury. That's what I thought. Come to find out, it's both, right? I mean, they were doing CPR and they cut off his face mask for obvious reasons. Then you started to see the emotion started pouring from players' faces. And that's when it became what you just said. Like, you see Josh. I will tell you, Saran Neal, Jaquan Johnson, guys like that, Tre'Davious White. And think about it, that's the DB room. Those are his guys. Those are the guys that he goes in the meetings with every day. They're closer than anybody in the team, really. They spend more time than anybody. Those are guys even more family than even though the team is family, those guys spend all that time together. They were very, very emotional. But I'm going to tell you, what really made it for me, Zach, the when it got to the point of, oh my God, this is horrific and something I've never seen before, the entire Bills sideline came off the sideline and went on the field. And what they did was they formed a big circle, a perimeter around DeMar Hamlin and the medical team. And what they did it with their backs towards him so that they were facing out around the whole circle. And they were locked in with their shoulders or their arms, and they were holding each other and they were crying and they were kneeling, but they're all right there. And the reason they did that, you could tell, they did not want anyone to see in to see what was happening and how they were working on DeMar. And that told me a lot.
Sal Capaccio here with us. Did you see his mother at all on the field last night?
It did. I tweeted about it because it's one of the more emotional moments and one of the moments that will be embedded in my brain for a long, long time. While the team was out on the field, I look over, I'm still on the sidelines, and I see a woman at the base of the wall, and she's talking with security and a little bit animated with her hands, and she's wearing a blue number 3 Bills jersey.
Oh, my.
And, you know, that's DeMar's number, and I could hear her say, "That's my son." And she wanted to come on the field to be with her son. And she sees me, and she sees a couple other people, and she's trying to kind of get people's attention because she wants to come down. And, you know, I can't really help her, and there's nothing I can do, but I turn around, and where she was, there was no access to the field where she was at the base of the wall. But I turn around, and then I see Dane Jackson. Now, Dane Jackson played at Pitt with DeMar, and now he's his teammate here in Buffalo. And Dane must have known where DeMar's family was because he was looking. And he saw her, and he got the attention of the team chaplain and director of player development. And he went over, and between him and Bill security and the Bengals stadium security, they were able to get her navigated to an area where she could go down into the into the field area, basically into the tunnel, to meet the ambulance when it got over there.
Sal Capaccio here with us. Last night, I was probably up until 3 in the morning watching all the coverage on ESPN, and you saw the shot of Stephon Diggs. I guess he took an Uber from the stadium to the hospital. I know Stephon Diggs has been such a big part in that locker room, but that was a scene, Sal, that I'll never forget because, you know, obviously you knew that some players were going to go over to the hospital, but just see Stephon Diggs having, you know, to walk up to that hospital, it really did kind of put the situation into what it was unfolding to be.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, as it was reported by, I think it was Coley Harvey who reported that ESPN said that Stephon was initially turned away by one of the cops at the hospital. And he had to explain, hey, that's my teammate in there. I want to go in. And Coley even said he had to tell the cop, like, this is Stephon Diggs, one of the best receivers in the NFL. His teammate's in there, and they ultimately let him in. When we left the stadium as a group, as a team, I'm on the team charter. We waited quite a while to even get on the bus, and they didn't want anybody even going in the locker room or even near the locker room. So we waited till that was cleared out. Then we all got on the bus, and we were there probably on the bus for over an hour. And I'm pretty sure that's because they were waiting for everybody to come back from the hospital. Even Diggs, Coach McDermott, because everybody flew back with the team except for DeMar, obviously, who was still in intensive care, at the hospital. And I believe GM Brandon Bean stayed back as well.
Sal Capaccio here with us. I know that it's such a private situation, so I understand if you can't get into much detail, but the flight back and just conversations that you had with players, if any at all, on the flight back, what was the flight like?
I can't really disclose any of that when I'm on the team charter, but I would just say that anytime you have a night game anyway, you're going to have people basically exhausted, falling asleep, flying through the night, and it's going to be pretty quiet. And obviously you can imagine, you know, there wasn't much conversation through the entire trip. I'll start just from the coming out of the media room. You know, people on their phones, I know I called my wife to give her an update of what was going on, but other than that, I didn't really talk to anybody. But, you know, it was quiet the whole way through until we got home, I'll say that.
The human emotion of this, I know football, right? We make it out to be the biggest thing in the world, and we think athletes are invincible, and we just expect them to show up each and every week. But you forget about the relationships that this team has. And, you know, I know a few of the Bills players, and I know how close of a group that is. The mental health side of this, Sal, is going to be a big one, because you talked about the circle that they were making around DeMar Hamlin, and then how many players had to leave just because they were crying and had to walk a few feet away. I just don't know how these players turn the page right now and get back to even thinking about football.
Yeah, for sure. People talk about, you know, when's the next game going to be? I mean, I don't even know about showing up for work tomorrow, to be honest with you. Who's going to do that? What that situation's like? Like, normally Wednesday is a practice day, right? It's a media day. We go in there and hear from Sean McDermott. Like, we don't know what's going on yet. And quite frankly, like, I don't necessarily care. It's not the bigger issue, right? But you're right. I mean, because I keep thinking about, there's got to be players on this team who probably wanted to come in today and talk to somebody. There's probably Tuesday's their normal day off anyway. So, like, we wouldn't be down there, you know, on a normal Tuesday, and, you know, today would be their day off. But there's got to be – there's probably, I would guess, other players who maybe they don't want to. Maybe they don't want to see DeMar Hamlin's locker and think about him not being a part of them in the meeting. You know, I don't know. But I will tell you this, over the last few years, under Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, the Bills have absolutely been at the forefront of providing as many resources as possible to assist in the mental health of their entire organization, players, coaches, staff. It's very, very, very important to them, and it has been. And I've seen this up close. My wife actually works in the mental health field herself, and you know, I've really been impressed with the organization and how they've really made available as many resources as possible to everybody in the organization for this type of thing, for mental health, and assist in that. And I'm guessing a lot of that is going on right now.
Sal Capaccio, a lot of people have been talking about the five-minute remark that was made in the broadcast that the players were told in 5 minutes they were going to resume play. Clearly, the way that Sean McDermott and Zach Taylor handled it was admirable because there was no way they were going to return to play, nor should they last night. Did you hear anything on the sideline? Because you saw Burrow warming up. It looked like at one time Stephon Diggs was trying to rally everyone together. Were they ever close to actually coming back and playing that game last night?
I think they were, but here's what I'll tell you. I didn't know about the five-minute thing until I heard today that Joe Buck apparently had said that on the broadcast a few times.
Multiple times, yeah.
Warm up. But I don't recall, and Zach, am I saying he did or he didn't, but I never remember hearing Sean Smith, the referee, say this, like over the loudspeaker. I don't remember anybody actually saying it in the stadium that there's going to be a five-minute warm-up period. And I didn't hear anybody in the sideline say it. I'm not saying anybody got a directive or they didn't. I'm not saying anybody told players that they didn't. I'm telling you, I didn't hear anything from what I recall. That said, not only was Stephon Diggs, with tears streaming down his face, by the way, bringing players in and trying to re-energize them, get them up a little bit to play, the Bills' defense was on the field. 11 players were preparing for a snap. That's what they were doing. Now, my take is, I think they're just conditioned to do this, right? This is what they do.
Yeah.
When you have these situations, what do? You press on, you play. And it sounds callous because it basically is in a situation like that. But ever since they've been little kids and playing football, you see a teammate get injured, you hope for him, you bring it out, you help him, you get him off the field, let's go on to the next play. That's just the way it is. I mean, week two, Dane Jackson, Monday Night Football against Tennessee, he lay on the field with that neck injury. Remember that?
Yeah.
And he got carted off. They played. Zach, I'm close to 50 years old. I've played and coached and been in the media in this game for decades. I've never been around a game that they didn't resume after an injury. I don't think you have. I don't remember any football. I don't think they have. I don't think any of these players have ever been in that situation where a game didn't resume because of injury. You know why? Because that's what you do. You go up and you play the next play. So my thought is they did that because that's what they're conditioned to do their whole life, to play the next play, as tough as that would have been. And I don't know how they could have done it. And we were talking to the broadcast. How are they going to do this? There's no way they should be out here. And then Diggs, he actually goes on the field. Saran Neal is coming off. He goes up to Saran Neal. Saran Neal was playing for Taron Johnson, by the way, who got hurt on the first series. And Stephon Diggs was up to Saran Neal. And by the way, Saran Neal was still bawling. Like, he had tears gushing out of his face. And he goes up to him, he grabs him in the face, right in left cheek, basically. And he's telling him, like, okay, come on, here we go. You got to go out there and play. And I'm like, this is surreal. Like, how are these guys going to go out there and do this? Well, thankfully, Zach Taylor and Sean McDermott, and maybe the officials, I don't know what role they played, because I don't want to say they didn't want to do it or they did want to do it. I don't know. But they got together, as you saw, and then eventually said, we're not playing, and go to the locker room.
Last one for you, Sal, and I can't thank you enough for doing this. Sal Capaccio, the Bills sideline reporter here with us. DeMar Hamlin, what do you want people to know about the person, DeMar Hamlin?
Just such a great kid. You know, I mean, he came into this league, and I remember the day he was drafted, and Todd McShay was breaking him down on ESPN, and he said he is going to make the team. He's a six-round pick coming in, playing a spot that, you know, it's so tough to break the team here because they have Poyer and Hyde, and he said, I guarantee you he makes this team because he's got everything Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott love. And he's going to be a terror on special teams. And he's a really physical player. Well, guess what? It all turned out to be true. And that's what he did. That's how he made the team. And he's all ball. He's all about being in the moment and helping his teammates and working his tail off. But you know what? Off the field, you've seen, I think I'm so glad right now today that we've seen a lot of these videos, him coming out, unfortunately, in the circumstance, but people really learning about DeMar and, you know, that he has such a kind heart and he has this foundation, his charitable foundation, Chasing Millions. And you've seen that they've raised over $4 million, the donations to his page, which is a toy drive, basically. And, you know, quick story, he took over for Micah Hyde, and early in the year, he goes on the field and they win a game and he has a big part in it. I don't remember, it was the Steelers game, maybe a game right after that. And I do a post-game interview with someone coming off the field in those situations. So I go up and I say, oh, I'm going to interview DeMar Hamlin. Like, he's a guy I never really got in this situation. I've talked to everybody else over the last whatever years after they won a game. And I just run up to him. I'm like, DeMar, you know, live on air, live radio interview. And he looks at me like, no, I'm okay. I don't want to do that. And I said to him, I said, DeMar, I said, in 9 years, I've never had anybody say no. They don't want to talk after they won. And he kind of looked at me and he's like, oh, okay. He didn't understand like the value he had on the field in the game. And that, you know, because he's so unassuming, he's not looking for the attention. That I think that kind of, he chuckled about it and he did a great interview. And we joked about it after the game because he didn't understand that I wanted to talk to him about his role in the game because he was so good, because all he's trying to do is do his job.
Sal, can't thank you enough. We're thinking about you. We're thinking about all with the Bills and Bengals organizations. And obviously most of and a ton of our thoughts are with DeMar Hamlin as well. Thank you and you be well.
All right. You too, man. Thanks.
There is Sal Capaccio, the Bills sideline reporter.